praise his name. Let's stand together if you'd like. Just bow our heads. We open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative of every opportunity we have, Lord. It's such a privilege, Lord, to be able to have that desire pulling in our hearts to come and to gather together, Lord, and be able to draw strength one from another, and Father, fellowship with each other. Lord, it's such an opportunity we have. May we take advantage of every moment, Lord, for it may be taken away sometime. And Lord, as your word comes forth, speak to us tonight. Father, may we grow greater, closer to you. We love you so much and ask that you'd have your way in every part of the service. So we give you the glory and honor and the praise in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Always wonderful things. Turn with me, if you would, in our big books there, I only believe. I'd like to start on page, amen, page 54. There is a fountain filled with blood. Amen. Have you been to the fountain? Hallelujah. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Thank you.
that fountain.
Amen. Praise his name. Page 88. Turn with me. Hallelujah. Haven of rest. Oh, hallelujah. What he's paid for, saints, what he's done. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice say,
I'm safe evermore.
anchored your soul. Oh, in that haven of rest, sweet rest. Praise his holy name. Oh, he's wonderful. And Brother Luke, would you like to come up again for the offering? Love has no limit. Amen. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man. Experienced his love, saints. What a privileged people we are. Amen. How many have something on your heart, a need, a request? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we go before him. Praise his name. Brother Jim Finley, would you like to take the request? May be seated. Praise his name. Anybody have a special song in your heart? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you have another song to make? All right. Well, let's all stand, if you would, then. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come. Only believe.
Precious Lord Jesus, again we want to thank you, Lord, again from the depths of our heart that you've let us gather here and to gather around your precious word. And we're asking once more that you would move upon our hearts, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, and open these words into our heart with a reality that, Lord, we could understand these things and they become, Lord, a very living part of our life. That, Lord, you would see it made manifest in living. We ask that you would grant that now, Lord. And give us the understanding as we read it, Lord, and we hear it. And Father, that if we'd miss anything, Lord, it's so dangerous to even miss one little portion of the word in this hour. When, Lord, we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And Father, if you don't make that every word real in our hearts, then we truly won't live by it. So we pray now again for your mercy and your grace that you would help us tonight. As we yield ourselves unto thee, that you would get the glory through it all. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise his name. Amen. If you'd like to turn with me again, let's get right back into the message we was on this morning. Let's go ahead and read our Bibles out of the book of 2 Corinthians and 10th chapter and read this very familiar scripture again. 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and we begin here at the third verse. And we'll just read down to the sixth verse to save a little time. I trust that by the word this morning that it's helping you be able to understand these things, and you're thriving and pressing for a closer walk with the Lord on having truly the mind of Christ in all things. But we find here, he says in the third verse, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now remember, he's talking to those once you've received a new birth. Okay? "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought." I love that. "Bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. Now, again, as in any of God's word, that wasn't when he says here, "and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience to Christ." Do you really believe that's exactly the way it has to be? Amen. I believe that's exactly the way it has to be. I mean, it can't be short of it at all, not even just a little bit. It has to be exactly that. And again, if we are, of course, if we're too involved in this deception that Satan has mustered up through his all his knowledge and through the things that he throws at people and false creeds and ideas about different things in the Word, if we're all caught up in that, then this will be like anything else in the Word. You know, it meant something else, or it means somebody else, or it didn't really mean that way. But Paul said it just exactly the way God wanted it said, to bring every thought and obedience to Christ. Every thought. Now just think of how many thoughts we have. You ever really sit and just think about, since I've actually been in this little series and started in this, I begin to think, look at the thought process that each one of us have. And, you know, and I was thinking today of how many thoughts, you know, my thoughts has been toward the Word and waiting maybe on the direction of the Holy Spirit and asking the Lord, "Do you want me to say it this way, or should I read this yet, or how should I express this?" And, you know, and then, of course, then the thoughts may come along, well, I'm going to feed the animals, you know, or it's time to eat dinner, or it's time to shave, or it's time to this. Just a complete thought process that we all have every day. And to think every one of those thoughts be brought in obedience to God's word. Amen. That's a lot of obedience. You ever think about it? It's a lot of obedience that it has to be. Not by choice of whether we'd want to or not, but it has to be if we're elected. Because the election will match the scripture, you see. So that's a lot of thought process that has to be brought under obedience. A lot of things that we think about and how we think about it. What is our attitude toward why we think of something? What is the purpose of why we're thinking it? What feeling are we feeling inside to be thinking about what we're thinking about? You know? And to think again, as I said, every one of those thoughts have to be brought under obedience to the Word of God. Now, to renew our minds back to the Scripture this morning, we read Hebrews 4, chapter 12, verse, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the of soul and spirit, and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So it ain't like he just wants us to do this, you know, have every thought brought under obedience to his word, and then he doesn't know what's going on. He does know what's going on. He does, as the scripture we read this morning, he searcheth the reins. In the book of Revelation, we read it. He knows our hearts, so he knows exactly, as I said, the very intentions of why we're thinking this. He knows the very intentions of maybe we might feel tension between somebody else and myself. Maybe something I'm upset with, or something that's not going just right, and maybe a thought process going on that shouldn't be being thought the way it's being thought about. Maybe instead of being loving and kind and understanding and gentle with a certain situation, the way it's going on or what's happening, maybe there's a thought of revenge. Maybe there's a thought of, if I could just get back somehow. Or show them, if I could just show them, I disapprove of what they're doing to me. You know? Again, he tracks down every one of those thoughts. And again, every one of those thoughts have to be brought unto obedience to the Word of God. Now, I don't know how we sit here tonight, okay? I don't know how we feel about that. But I'm telling you, there's only one way you'll have every thought brought unto obedience to God's Word. And that's through Christ being in you. There is no other way. And like I was saying, maybe that's too hard. Maybe that's too, you look at it and you think, this is one of the things that's impossible. It ain't going to happen in my life. You know, I just can't do this. Maybe that's the way you'll think about it. But just remember, he done searched the reins and knows how you think about it. He knows your feeling toward what I read and what I'm up here expressing about, because you each, as I'm bringing the word and presenting it back to you, again, a thinking process is taking place. You're thinking about it. It's been proposed before you, and you're thinking, what do I feel about this? What am I thinking about? Am I short? He knows if you're thinking, you're short. He knows if you're thinking, oh, I've got that whipped. When we don't, you know? So he knows all this of what's going on in our mind. He already knows what you're thinking about if you're sitting and thinking about, what am I going to do after service? He already knows. He already knows what you're thinking about, something you may plan for tomorrow. Again, every one of those thoughts, every one of them, not partial, not part of them. He didn't say that. He said every thought brought into obedience to the Word of God, Christ. You know, it makes me seem to think we all need to pray. We all need to really cry out to God. Because I'm afraid we'd all find we were short of every thought being brought into obedience to God's word. You see? So as we are moving back into this, I want you to pay attention again now what's being said. Okay? Because it's very serious, it's real, it's genuine, there's no hocus pocus about it, it's no creeds, it's no thought of my own, it is God's precious word. Okay? So we find here, let's just refresh your mind with a couple quotes here again. Actually, I don't think I read this one yet, but I'll read this one, and then we'll go back and read again a portion of the letter. I want you to keep refreshed of that, okay? We find here, he says, in the final warning, this is Church Age Book, page 238. And, of course, he reads the scripture that we read this morning, Revelation 223, and he says, "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." And we'll skip down just a little bit. And he says, the Lord searcheth the reins. The word search means to track or follow up. God tracks down our thoughts. So this must be something he's concerned about. That if he had done willed in his great plan, that he's going to track down our thoughts. He's going to see if we've got every thought under obedience to his word. Now just think of that. He's tracking them to see. So he's not going to let us slide. He's not going to let us be able to even hide it. He's going to track it down and see what each one of our thoughts is. That little maybe ill feeling you have towards somebody, or maybe that carnal thought you have about something, maybe something in life that you're aiming for, you want, that you've never said nothing to nobody, and you know it wouldn't be the will of the Lord to do it. He knows about it. Everything. Okay? So he is searching, or he means to track or follow up. God tracks down our thoughts, the reins, he said. He knows what's in our hearts. Okay? He knows what's where it's originating from. He knows where that thought is coming from. Okay? And remember, whatever nature lies within us, whatever soul is working, operating, that is what is controlling the spirit. Or in other words, it's controlling your imagination, controlling your reasoning, controlling your affection, controlling your conscience, controlling all these different things, imagination, reasoning, memory, all these different things. It's controlling it. And thereby, once that's in being controlled position, then this body acts out exactly what the inside is controlling. Okay? So again, if the nature of God isn't in us, which it'll take time, I don't know if I can get through to it that far tonight or not, but if the nature of God within us or is not in us, then you end up with a product of never being able to have the mind of Christ. You just can't do it. Ain't going to happen. Because of the process that takes place to get those thoughts out to where it's expressed, manifested. You see? Okay? He sees our works, which are definite manifestation. Now, listen to what he says here. He sees our works. We all have works, don't we? Absolutely. If we didn't have the works, we'd be laying in a casket. Okay? He sees our works, which are definite manifestation of what lies within us. Okay? What we are manifesting on the outside is a definite manifestation of what lies within us. Okay? It is out of the heart that proceeds either righteousness or wickedness. Our motives, our purposes, all are known unto him as he watches every action. And he knows what's motivating that action. He knows the thought that took place that's pushing on that action to come out. He already knows. Isn't that something, how God just knows everything about us? And for anybody to think we could hide something, to think we could be sitting around thinking about something and think God don't know about it. Just think of that. To even actually, it'd be so foolish to even think that, that God wouldn't know what's going on in my life. Long as I didn't say nothing, long as I didn't tell nobody about it. That is so silly. God knows what you're going to think about tomorrow before tomorrow even comes. Yeah. Just think of that. You can't hide nothing. I can't hide nothing. He knows how you feel about one of your loved ones. He knows how you feel toward one of your brothers in Christ, your sister in Christ. He knows. You see? He knows how you feel about maybe a certain word that he has given you. He knows what you feel about it. Yeah. Maybe the preacher got up and preached on it and he read it right out of the scripture and said exactly what the prophet said. And you got this little thing, I just don't know about that. Because maybe you're holding on to something some other preacher said a few years ago and had it all mixed up, but it sounded a little bit better and it was a whole lot easier on your flesh to get by doing that this way instead of really holding to the truth. So in your mind, you're thinking, I ain't saying nothing to nobody. But for some reason, I don't think it's that way. And just think, God knows what you're thinking. My. You say, now that's impossible, is it? When God gave us so many times through the scriptures, even the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, so many times he knew exactly what they were thinking before they even said anything. Then God sent the last day prophet, and he knew, God showed him, he knew exactly what people were thinking and where they lived and what their problem was and everything before anything was ever said. Never even knew the person before. And you think he really can't track our thoughts? When he knew what people was thinking when they come up in that prayer line, and they was condemned about something, and he'd tell them, no, you go make this right first and then come back. And you think we can get by with it because it changed, or maybe it's a few years later, maybe it's 50, 60 years later, and now God don't do such a thing as that? Well, I'm going to remind you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he knows everything we're doing, what we're about to do, what we did. He knows everything about it. And again, to think, every one of the thoughts that's in this thinking process have to be brought under obedience to the Word of God. Wow, how can this be? You know? Is that something beyond reach? Is it something that's impossible to do? Well, are we going to be like the 10 spies? We can't do it. There's giants over there. It's impossible. It's too big for me. Or are we going to be like Joshua and Caleb? Men and brethren, God predestinated me to this and has given me the revelation of it and continued to reveal this to me, and it will happen in my life. God said it must be. God said every thought must be brought under obedience to his word, and it shall be. And it shall be. And it shall be. Without a doubt. You see? Right? He says, all our purposes are all known to him as he watches every action. And every action, every word, shall be brought into judgment when the accounting for our lives is given. There was no fear of God before the false vine. See, the false vine has no fear. They don't. They think, can't be nothing to it. The false vine, as I read, have read so far, the things I've read, if the false vine were sitting here and think, this ain't going to happen. Brother Steve's got it all wrong. I got this figured out, and it ain't that serious. And he ain't worried about me having every thought under obedience to the word of God. It just don't happen that way. They have no fear. And dearly will they pay when the accounting of their lives is given. He says, there was no fear of God before the false vine, and dearly shall they pay. Let all who name his name so live as become as saints. We might fool the people, but we will never fool the Lord. And we may fool the people in what we think, what our thoughts is. They don't maybe know our thoughts. And we may be a real slicker and pretty good about hiding what we're really thinking. But one thing about it, you'll never fool God what you're thinking. Now, I think back of the many a times that people sit there in the congregation for years already knowing what they really did believe and didn't believe, and sit there in the congregation for years covering it all up until one day it would come to a head and out it came. Now, there was a lot of people they might have been fooling. Yeah. But they wasn't fooling God. You can't. You cannot fool God sitting here tonight and trying to buffalo your way in something and thinking, make people believe you believe something when you don't. I think of the many times the different messages that would come forth, and my people just act so excited about it, you know, and they would just say, amen, what was being preached, and this, that, and the other. But when it got down to the right thing, they went to their Uncle Henry and said, Uncle Henry, do you really believe it like that? Do you really think that's the truth? And Uncle Henry may not be quite sure either, because he'll end up saying, well, you know, I'm kind of with you, but don't say nothing about it. Let's just keep peace. Let's don't say nothing about it. Let's just hold our peace. And if it's wrong, it'll come out in the end. Yeah. And they waited for a long time till finally the word of God got so hot they couldn't take it anymore. And they walked out. Yeah. If we're thinking anything like that, God already knows.
That's right.
Yeah. God already knows. Remember, we don't hide nothing from God. Nothing. No. We may sit here and think, well, praise God, I don't think Brother Steve's doing something right. Well, if you don't think I'm doing something right, then you should come to me as a brother. Because you sit there and hold it, and if I'm not doing something wrong, I'm not doing something that's right, and you're holding that in your heart, just remember, God knows your thoughts.
Amen.
And as long as your thoughts is there, you're going to continue to lose any confidence in the ministry that you have, and you're going to just grow colder and colder and colder. Until one day, you'll go cold enough, and you'll walk out that door. You'll say, everybody else is wrong, but you're the one that left the Word of God. Seen it happen, friends, time and time again. And God searcheth the reins and knows exactly what you're thinking sitting here tonight. Yeah. Okay? All right. Let's go on. 1 Corinthians 2. Let's refresh your mind to just one verse of it, because we've been in this scripture many times in the last couple weeks here. Let's go 1 Corinthians 2, 16. Just read this. Again, just bring our attention to it. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Listen to what Apostle Paul's great words was. But we have the mind of Christ. You see, Apostle Paul was sure that he had the mind of Christ. There wasn't no iffies about it. And by having the mind of Christ, he was able to perceive divine things. He was very capable, by the Holy Spirit being in him, very capable to have the capacity to attain spiritual things. Same as any son or daughter of God will. They'll have this capacity, I repeat, to be able to retain these spiritual things of God. Okay? They'll have a spiritual understanding of what God's requiring, what God does want done, which will go back again to the letter, which, as I said, now the letter means so much more to me since I had that dream. And like I said, dream was basically probably just to me to draw my attention to it and to expand into it, to really search into it. And as I said, and it just seemed like when the prophet was looking at me, I was thinking, yes, Brother Bram, I'll look into this deeper. Yeah, there's a lot to this letter. The Holy Spirit told you to pick up the pen and begin to write. Yeah. And as I said, you just to see him and see his face and see his eyes, it was just so strange as he went into that vision and he began to write what the Holy Ghost was telling him to write. And he'd write a little bit, and he'd stop, and he'd look. And his eyes was just so powerful. And he'd begin to write again. And then he'd stop, and he'd look at me, as if to tell me, look into it deeper. Look into it deeper. You know? And he'd begin to write some more. And finally, he got the letter wrote. And then, there was something about burning on the inside of me. Look into this, greater. Look into this. So then it began to deal with my heart, the Holy Spirit did too, about the mind of Christ in a deeper place. As individuals, all of us should have. Yes. If we're the sons of God. Again, let me read the letter, this portion of the letter, again, just to refresh your mind. Do you get tired of hearing it? No. Don't do it, friends. Just keep asking, Lord, let me see another little spot in there. Let me see something else in there, Lord. You see, that's why we're here. Okay? All right, which was in the church age book, which was where it was printed at, page 172. The members of the virgin bride will love him, and they will have his potentials. Remember what we read in Scripture just a moment ago. Right? They've got this very spiritual potential to do this, you know, to understand. They are subject to him as members of our bodies are subject to our heads. See, him being the head, our members are subject to him. He is the head. Notice, now get this, notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Now just think of this. If nothing else, go back and read your Bibles tonight when you get home, tomorrow, whenever you can, and begin to read just the life of Jesus Christ. And watch that harmony between the Father and the Son. Okay? And how many times he'd say, I can do nothing myself. I can do nothing unless the Father shows me first. Now think of that. Okay? Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. How we all could take a lesson from that. Didn't do anything until the Word shows us what we can do. As I said a few weeks ago, how often do we pray and ask God for His leadership before we do anything? Before we go do something? Before we go fishing? Before we work in the garden? Before we do anything? Lord, this harmony now. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm not here to just do my own will. What do you want me to do right now? You're always opening that door for the Holy Spirit to lead you. Now we talk about being led by the Spirit of God. Do we open the door to let the Holy Spirit lead us? Or do you think, I'm a human being, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'll do what I want to do. I don't believe God wants me to live like this, to have to search with Him before I do anything. Oh, that's the problem, old goat. You'll bang your head one time too many one of these days, and your head's going to really hurt. Yeah. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed Him by the Father. Again, I repeat, the Holy Spirit told him to pick up his pen and write these things. John 5:19, this harmony is now to exist. I have to make it personal in case I'm the only one going in between him and me. You have to be able to do the same thing as an individual. I, as an individual, I have to have that personalized. That this harmony now is existing and has to exist between me and him. That I do nothing unless he wants me to do it. Oh my, that's an awful hard thing for some people to even think about doing. Well, Brother Steve, I wouldn't probably get nothing done. Well, that's not the way God works either. He knows you got to provide for your own. He knows you got to work. He knows you got to work for your, provide for your own. He knows these things. But what kind of an attitude does he see between us and him? Do we show him we want him to be our leadership? Remember the message, leadership? Why don't we listen to it really closely? You might find something in there now. After going into this, you might see something you didn't notice before. See? This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. In other words, again, between me and him. You had to say the same. He shows me his word of life. Does he show you? That's how personal it's got to be. Does he show you his word of life? Okay. I receive it. He says she receives it. I receive it. Can you say the same thing? I receive it. And I never doubt it. He says she never doubts it. Since I'm just trying to show you something here. I'm not adding to, not taking away. I'm just trying to make it more personal in your life. Because you are the one that's responsible to stand before God, as I am. She receives it. She never doubts it. So I receive it. I never doubt it. And thank God for his mercy and grace. I don't know if I ever did doubt his word. Seem like when his word comes forth and for something I'm doing wrong, I just say, Lord, help me. Help me understand this, Lord. Help me get this. I need this. I don't sit there and think, is this right? Is this wrong? No. Could this be? Could that be? Could he really be the creator of all things? No, no, no. Those things don't even cross my mind. No. Therefore, nothing can harm me. He says, her, bride, not even death. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Not even death can harm us. You see? For if the seed, listen, if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride, in me, in you, okay, as it was in Mary. Wow. Blessed are you, Mary. Blessed are you, Stephen. Blessed are you, Jim. Blessed are you, Kevin. Blessed are you, Paul. Blessed are you. See? The bride, Stephen, has the mind of Christ. Wow. Can you put your name there? The bride has the mind of Christ. For she knows what he wants done with the word. I know what he wants done with the word. Can you say the same thing? Huh? She performs the command of the word in his name. For she has thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass like a seed that is planted and watered. It comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Those in the bride, Stephen, do only his will. You've got to put yourself there. And if we can't put ourselves there, we need to cry out to God till we can get there. Because this letter is more important than you think. We've took it too lightly in the past. Those in the bride do only his will. And no one can make them do otherwise. Oh, praise God. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works. We know it's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. You have to say the same thing. You have to know the same thing. You know that you live, but yet it's not you that lives. It's Christ that liveth in you. And you have to have a life to back that up. See? They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling His own word. He did not complete all His work while in His earthly ministry. So now He works in and through me. You have to say the same thing. Now He works through me. He works through you. This work that He left for this specific time. She knows that. We know that, don't we? Oh. For it was not yet time for Him to do certain things that He must now do. But He will now fulfill through me, through you, little bride, wherever you're at, that work which He left for this specific time. It's been a half hour already. Didn't get very far, but I'll give you something more to think about. Amen. Even though you heard it before. And just think. We used to be in a position of thinking we got it all, we're just waiting on a rapture. Look where we'd have been. Oh my. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Amen. The amazing grace of God in our life. So once you think about those things now, don't forget. Meditate on them. Pray about it. Yeah. Maybe, Lord willing, we can move back into Thursday evening, if it be His will. And if not, we'll pick it up after Brother George is gone. Comes and goes. And who knows, the Lord might come before that. Yeah. Are you loving the appearing of the Lord? My, you get yourself ready, you'll start loving it. But when you don't know you're ready, you ain't going to love it much. But get yourself right, then you'll begin to love it. You're watching with great expectation for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my. Won't you sisters come to the instruments, please? Amen. To His precious, precious Word. I love the Word of God. Amen. It's just so dear to me, and you know, I'm thankful that it just seems like every word is important. You know, there's nothing that can just be taken lightly in the Word of God. And as I said, it seemed like after the dream on that letter, I thought I pretty well knew what was being said in this letter, but I'm beginning to see more now what this letter's about. And do you know that letter was wrote for a reason? There was a reason why the Holy Spirit told that prophet to pick up his pen and write. Because it's exactly for us. Yes. Yeah, tell us exactly. To give us understanding of what is going to happen. What's going to be fulfilled through us. Oh my. But remember, by mercy and grace, you have to place yourself right in there with it. And only through revelation can you do that. All right, let us all stand. Amen. Anybody got a chorus you want to sing before we go? Amen. Brother Timothy?
Yeah, a little chorus, I will praise Him.
Amen. That sounds real good. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. All ye people, for
And before we ask Brother Timothy to come dismiss, I think Brother Timothy told me that it'd be around 50. He'd be able to go eat at the old Dutch restaurant when Brother George comes that Sunday between services. If for some reason that would change, make sure you let me know as soon as possible, because tomorrow we're going to let the owner know that it will be around 50. And as long as it's around that amount or anything 40 and above, they'll set us up downstairs with our own buffet and be by ourselves. So that'll make it real nice. So like I say, but if that would change, make sure you let us know. But it looks like we'll have at least that amount, unless, you know, some of you don't end up wanting to go for some reason. So like I said, just let Brother Timothy know if something happens you can't, and before that time, because we definitely want to let them know. Otherwise, we'd probably have to just go upstairs and kind of fend for ourselves. But as long as there's 40 or more, then they'll set up a buffet for us. So that would be, as I said, I think that'd be really good. Be down there by ourselves downstairs, and it'd work out real good. All righty, so let's sing that little chorus again. I will praise him and ask Brother Timothy to come dismiss us. Amen. I will praise him. I will pray. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Pray the Lamb for sinners slain.
You love him. Amen. 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 Let's sing it from the rising of the sun. Amen. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, the what he's done for us and what he's doing. And by God's grace, to be able to see in this hour, you've got eyes to see. And to see that God is so graciously bestowing his word upon us with a desire to be all that he's required us to be. Oh, how we ought to praise him. Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Lord, we thank you for the strength and health to have been here today. Lord, we truly appreciate you bringing Sister Eloise back this evening, yes, Lord. And we sure appreciate you giving Brother and Sister D. Long strength to be here, the services they've been able to come. And Lord, Brother Leffler, we just continue to pray, Lord, for Sister Marilyn, you would strengthen her. And Lord, Brother Bobby, we want to remember him. And Lord, we just ask that you will continue to take these precious words that we've even heard today, the precious instructions from the Holy Ghost. And Lord, let it be applied greater in our lives as we can truly see the need for it, Lord, in my life. Lord, I can see a greater place, a greater height. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us will take this precious word in, Lord, and let you do a work in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to have your way in every phase. And if you should tarry, Lord, till Thursday evening, may we come expecting. And if you should tarry till Sunday, Lord, then may we come expecting what you would have. But Lord, let us not get our eyes too far ahead. But Lord, remember that you could come tomorrow. And Lord, may we be ready, watching, and loving and longing your appearing. And Lord, we just ask all these things in the precious name. Pray you'll be with Paul and Heather as they travel back home, Lord. Keep them safe on the roads. And Lord, we never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Praise. Bless you. You're all dismissed.